We continue our learning of Yonishmas Davi ben Menachem Ishtem Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Eliyahu. We are in Bava Kama Perek Vav Mishnah Beis. Hinicha b'chama, here you have a person who places his sheep in the sun, where the sun is very, very hot. So even if he was na'al b'fanei ha'karo'i, like the previous Mishnah, he put a fence around it, and he did his shmir p'chusa, and is able to withstand, the fence is able to withstand uruach mitsuya. But nonetheless, where within the previous Mishnah we said, if he breaks through and eats or tramples Shane and Regel, the halach is that he's pater. Here, he's going to be chayev. Why will he be chayev? Because by placing him in the sun where it's really hot, so now the animal gets very irritable, and it now is able to breach through the fence because of that distress, because of the sun. So that is, so the owner is held accountable for that. Shmir p'chusa, the fact that you had a fence around it, is not sufficient in a case where the animal is under distress. Let's say you have this owner of this zone of the sheep, and he now entrusts it to a cherish, a deaf mute, a shota, someone who's mentally deranged, or a katan, someone under bar mitzvah. The yatzav iziko now it causes damage. Chayev. So in all these cases, whether he placed it in the sun, even though he was surrounded but with a wall, with a fence, or he gave it to a cherish to a katan and it caused damage, or any shein or regel damage, chayev. He has to pay because this is considered negligence in the shmira. Let's say the Mishnah says misaral. Let's say he gives the animal now to a shepherd. It sounds like the owner is giving the animal to a shepherd. Nichnas haroa tachtav. The roa now takes his place to be chayv in any nezek. Now, the Gemara points out that this I should know already. If you remember, from the fourth parak, we said if a person gave misaro l'shomer chinam v'l'shoel l'nosei sach v'l'socher nichnasu tachas ha'baalim. If you give your shor to a shomer, so that shomer takes the place of the baal, and anything that happens to the animal is the shomer's problem. So, obviously, if you give your animal to a roa, to a shepherd, he becomes the shomer on the animal, and the roa takes your place. So the Gemara explains here that the chiddush of the Mishnah is that the roeh himself gave it to another roeh. The Gemara explains that it used to be you would give, let's say for the day, you need someone to watch your sheep, to make sure to graze the sheep, you would give it to the head roeh, to the head shepherd, and he would give it to other people, give it to an apprentice, give it to other workers for him. So, and what happened? They would, and they, the workers, those other roim, would graze the sheep. So the Mishnah is coming to tell us, even though the general rule is Shomer, Shomas, Shomer is Chayav, which would mean, if you would typically would say, well, if I give my animal to a Shomer, to the first Roeh, and he now gives it to another Roeh, Shomer, Shomas, Shomer, you're not allowed to give it to another Shomer. There's a general rule that we have the Bava Metzia as well, that the second Shomer, the owner, can say to the first shomer, you had no right to give it to the other shomer. I don't trust him, or I don't trust if he has to take a shvuah. I don't trust his oath that he may take in court. I trust you, but not him. So shomer shamas le shomer, the first shomer is going to be chayv if anything happens to the animal. So if that's true, why? If the case of the Mishnah is where misarelo roe means that the first roe gave it to another roe, the first main shepherd gave it to another shepherd. It says nichnas haroe tachtov, the second roe is chayv. Chayav is held accountable. That's because this is what people did typically. Everybody knows that when you give your animal for the day to the head roeh, he's going to be giving it to other people, to other shepherds. And therefore, that second shepherd indeed does take the place of the owner, and anything that happens, it is his liability. Then the Mishnah says, Nafla Lagino. Let's say a person's animal fell, the sheep, let's say fell in Ba'ones, totally through accident. Let's say it slipped in Rosh Hasharabim, which was above someone's garden, and fell into someone's garden. Well, now that's in the garden, in Anis, it gets hana. It starts eating some of the crops and some of the vegetables in the garden. So what does the owner of the animal have to pay? Now, the owner was watching the animal very well, but the animal just slipped. So that's not negligence. That's complete onus on his part. So should he have to pay anything? The fact that the animal's eating? So the answer is he doesn't have to pay for nezek that the animal causes because it's onus. But nonetheless, mishalem es masha nehenis. We've had this in the past. The owner does have to pay for the hana, the benefit that the animal gets. Now, he doesn't have to pay for the tomatoes that he ate. He has to pay for the fact that he, the owner, now saved on lunch because the animal's now full. So he saved on lunch. Now, what would he feed the animal? So he feeds him normally at general animal food. The cheapest animal food is barley. And very often it's you can get it for a cheap price. So as we learned earlier in the second second parak, Mashananis is where you pay Demei Seorim Bezol, which is really 2/3 of the value of what barley normally costs. So that's what the owner is going to have to pay, that's what the owner of the animal is going to have to pay the owner of the field in these circumstances. But let's say Yarder Kedarka, let's say the animal went down into the garden the way it normally is. It didn't slip. It wasn't an onus. The owner should have watched it. And then, of course, the Hizika caused damage through eating or through trampling. Sheno Regel, Mishalemes, Masha Hizika. So then you don't pay Masha Nenes, that cheap price of just the benefit that it gets from saving the owner, saving a meal, but you have to pay the real damage. So how do you pay the real damage of the tomatoes that it destroyed? Ketan Mishalmesh Masha Hizika, Shamin Beisa Baosa Sada, Kama Hoysa Yafe Vikama Hiyafe. So what do? You evaluate what those crops were worth, not what they would be sold for in the store. That's an expensive price. But rather you evaluate what is the field, what is the value of the field before when those crops were there, when there's tomatoes are still in the field, and what's the value of the field when the tomatoes are no longer there? What was it, Kama Yafa, what was it worth before? And then Kama Yafa, what's it worth now? And that's what you're going to pay. Why do you pay based on the value of the field, how it depreciated after it lost the tomatoes? Because the Pasuk says, Uvier Bistei Acher, and we darshan from Bistei Acher, it means we always evaluate, we assess the Nezek Al Gav Sada Acheres, based on another field, which means we're not looking at what this costs in the store, but what is the field worth before, what's the field worth after. That's generally the case. We know that that's going to be a cheaper price. Obviously, if you were to think about a house, so if you want to buy a window in the store, it costs you a certain amount of money. What would the value of the house be if it was missing one window? So it wouldn't be, the difference would not be as significant as what a window costs. Let's say you buy a window in the store, it's going to cost you $500. But if someone's buying a house and it's missing a window, would you say it's almost negligible? Maybe it wouldn't have much value at all. So that's the same thing is true over here. And that's how we evaluate Masha Hizika, not what the tomatoes would cost if you bought them in the store, but what is the depreciation of the value of the field. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. Achla Peros Gemurim, Mishalemes Peros Gemurim. No, we don't evaluate the Masha Hizika based on what the field was worth with the tomatoes and what they're worth without, but and you pay the difference, but rather you pay it ate peros gemurim. You pay peros gemurim. If it ate a sa, which is six kav, that's the volume, that's what you pay. Imsa saim. If it ate two sa, you pay two sa, whatever that would cost in the store. What is Rabbi Shimon do with the pasuk uvier b'stei acher? When do we take into account the value of the field before and after when it comes to the fruit, the crops that were eaten? So he says, yeah, we do evaluate agav karka when the produce needs the karka. Let's say the produce that was eaten wasn't ripe. So if it wasn't ripe, then you're right. We're not going to, we don't sell them in the store when they're unripe. Then we will evaluate, obviously, the difference of what the field was worth before when the tomatoes were in the field versus after when they were eaten by the animal. But if they are peros gemurim, they're already ripe, so you pay the exact value of what they would cost if you were selling them in the store. Perek Vav, Mishnah Gimel. Hamagdish Besoch Sadeh Shel Chavero Shelo Bershus. You have someone who made a stack of his grain in his friend's field without any asking any permission. This should sound familiar. We had this before, something similar. V'achloson behemto shel bal hasadeh. And the animal of the bal hasadeh ate from that grain, putter. So the bal hasadeh doesn't have to pay. He can tell the person who stacked up the grain, what are you doing in my rishus? I gave you no permission. V'imhuzka behen. And in fact, if let's say the bal hasadeh's animal slips on the grain and is injured because of it, Bal Hagadish Chayv, the owner of the stack of grain who had no permission to stack it, has to pay for the injury to the animal, for any damage. But let's say the owner gave him permission to stack his grain. Reuven gave permission for Shimon to stack his grain in Reuven's yard. So then the Mishnah says, Bal Hasadeh Chayev, meaning if the animal of the owner of the field ate the stack, then the owner of the field has to pay. He gave him permission to come in, to stack, so then he has to pay for it. Now, you may remember that we discussed in the past that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi disagreed with this halacha. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi in general held that just because you give permission for someone to put something in their produce, let's say in your field, or the potters, remember the earthenware pots in the field, doesn't mean you take upon yourself shmira. And therefore, you may give permission, but if your animal eats them or destroys them, you will not have to pay according to Rabbi. Comes the Gemara to say that Rabbi would agree with this mission as well, because we're speaking about a bika, a valley, a flat area, where the Bale Asados all use that, they all put their gadish, their stack of grain, in the same place. They appoint a shomer there, and once the shomer gave rishus to someone to put the stack there, it's as if he said, oh, put your stack here like everybody else, and I'm going to guard it. And therefore, Rebbe, who held earlier in the fifth parak, the third Mishnah, that the Baal HaBayis would not be chayiv until he explicitly accepts Shmira, he would admit here that shomer is going to be chayiv if the animal ate from the gadish, the owner of the animal, the owner of the field ate from the gadish, because it's as if he accepted Shmira. In this particular case, we assume once you give permission to stack your grain, it's as if you're accepting Shmira upon it.